Welcome back to Hyphenated America, where we make immigration laws and policies easier to understand. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Maria. This week, we'll be discussing the news related to immigration. It's been a very busy week, and we want to break it down for you. We know it can be very overwhelming to look at the news right now, especially given the updates in the Breonna Taylor case, the passing of Justice Ginsburg, and more.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died.
We must remember that injustices occurring within the immigration space are also manifested in matters of sexual assault, the COVID-19 pandemic, the prison industrial complex, big tech, and access to government assistance.
Our stories this week highlight those relationships and remind us how immigration policies and enforcement infrastructure further marginalizes and harms our most vulnerable population.
So beginning with some of the news this week, a congressional oversight visit occurred to the Irwin Detention Center this week on September 26th. Members of the Hispanic Caucus and the House Judiciary Committee went to Irwin Detention Center in Georgia following whistleblower Don Wooten's claim that detained women were undergoing hysterectomies at the hands of one particular doctor without their knowledge or consent. And it was really fascinating to see these representatives' comments on the issue, particularly Representative Barragan tweeted, "Women at Irwin County Detention described a disturbing pattern that many who visited a doctor for gyno and OBGYN issues came back worse. One lady got so bad her belly turned blue. Women cried as they talked about her pain. She was released Wednesday before MOC arrived." And, you know, I really think this is a fascinating case. There's been updates as to who this particular doctor is. It's demonstrated and kind of opened up our discussion of what these detention centers across the United States are. You know, we've talked about on Hyphenated America in the past, what's been happening in McAllen, Texas, the ways in which immigration detention centers are being overrun to the point where individuals are being held in hotels across the country. And I think it is an interesting discussion.
We know that these populations are already so vulnerable and not in ideal conditions. So to know that it's been reported that they're undergoing unconsented surgeries is really concerning. And on that note that Sophia mentioned of us being aware of the lack of adequate conditions related to health and safety, our next story definitely proves the point as to how ICE really needs to raise their standards of medical care given the COVID-19 pandemic. So the next story that we're going to report is that there has been the 20th death related to COVID-19 in ICE detention. Tragically, Cipriano Chavez Alvarez, a 61-year-old Mexican national, passed away due to COVID-19 complications. He died at Stewart Detention Center. It's actually the third death in this particular immigration detention center. And as Sophia mentioned, this is all a result of lack of adequate medical care. These ICE immigration detention centers are not social distancing, and they're not equipped to have enough space, and testing is still not federally mandated. It is basically on a detention by detention basis. So if Stewart Detention Center already has had three deaths, maybe more if they haven't reported, then that just shows the inadequacy of their health standards. And, you know, we're really just sending our thoughts over to all those who are susceptible to getting sick in detention and all across the country.
I think this is a good reminder that outbreaks across the country are not only happening within colleges that are opening their campuses and correctional facilities across the country, but 53 detainees tested positive at the Adelanto ICE Processing Center this week. And I think it is a good reminder that while the pandemic does feel that it is getting better, you know, our numbers spent today, the 26th, was the highest number since mid-August across the country. And if this is how it's affecting those that are outside of detention, it's truly infuriating and also so scary to think about the conditions that people are suffering from.
Definitely. So on another depressing note, the Trump administration has just decided that they'll be enforcing the public charge rule that we actually had included in another newsletter. And this is after a New York judge a few months ago ruled that it was unlawful, especially in a pandemic. The public charge rule basically is punishing migrants and throwing away anyone applying for some sort of citizenship relief due to the fact that we think that they might need government assistance, such as food stamps, housing. So this is really interesting, given that they do want to take into account whether someone would need government assistance, given that there is a pandemic, and they are expected to enforce this for the next 4 years. So it's not going away anytime soon.
I think this is particularly relevant today. President Trump on the 26th announced his Supreme Court nominee, and it's Amy Coney Barrett. Judge Barrett was the only member of a 3-judge panel who voted to uphold this harmful public charge rule. Now, it prohibits many immigrants from accessing these benefits for which they're income eligible. And as Maria said, we're in this pandemic. How are we going to assist those that need this government access, that need this support? And it's a little bit frightening, and I do think it's something to consider as the nominee process goes on.
No two issues are not related, especially with immigration. So not surprised to see that she had a take on the public charge ruling and had ruled on it before. And just a quick plug, we posted on our story, Raices, a border advocacy organization, their objections to Amy as the Supreme Court nominee. She has had some other anti-immigrant views besides this public charge one. So just wanted to plug that. Our last story that we chose to highlight in our breakdown for the week was the deportation of a formerly incarcerated individual from California named Coy Saley. Apologies if I butchered his name. So this is a really sad story. I thought it was emblematic of just all the problems in our criminal justice system, the link between mass incarceration and immigration enforcement. So basically, Co had been in prison for 22 years, was imprisoned when he was a teenager. After 22 years of serving in prison, he volunteered to help with the wildfires. Of course, prisoners that aid with wildfires are super exploited. They're only paid $1 a day. Ironically enough, they can't become firefighters after they are out of prison because the state doesn't allow them to. So he was helping with the wildfires. As we know, they've been really bad. And after he finished his sentence, the state of California referred him over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and he was sent to immigrant detention in Louisiana. And now he'll be deported back to Laos, a place that he hasn't been since he was 2 years old and that his family fled as refugees. And this is actually ties into a larger conversation happening in California and all over the country as to the relationship between state-owned prisons and detention centers. There has been a lot of transfers, especially in California, so just to keep people basically in a perpetual state of incarceration. So if they know that someone has some sort of immigration issue or may be undocumented, they'll let them serve the full prison sentence and then refer them to another sentence at an immigration detention center, basically just elongating the time that they're not free. So not only should Governor Newsom consider stopping these transfers, as immigration advocates have asked him, I think we just need to humanize these people and realize that there are so many people serving really long sentences that get even longer sentences if they're in some sort of immigration jeopardy. So this was just, I think, a story that really was emblematic of all the problems of how we just punish people for a really long time, sometimes for no reason.
And that's our quick recap of the news this week. Subscribe to The Breakdown on our website and have immigration news, recommended reading, and activist organizations to follow delivered to your inbox every Friday. Don't forget to check out our website, hyphenatedamerica.org, to access our guides and fact sheets, and follow us on social media.
If you have immigration-related topics that you're interested in us breaking down with the help of other experts, feel free to email us at team@hyphenatedamerica.org.